When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
And welcome to another Palazzo Prospects Power Hour, where we are reviewing our next three big three. And tonight we're going to talk about everyone's favorite team, the New York Yankees. We're going to talk about the homeless team, the Athletics. And we are going to talk about who I think could be a real surprise in 2025, the Seattle Mariners. Robbie. I hear there's some white stuff falling your way.
There is. There's snow everywhere. They've canceled school for tomorrow. Now, hopefully they cancel where I work at the university so that I can have a home day too. But I mean, it was real easy to get my beer cold tonight, Ben, because I just put it outside.
In the snow, yeah.
So, as I did say on the X, I'm going to need one beer for each of these teams, and it's for different reasons that I'm willing to get into when it's time. So,
but you know, the good news, Robbie, this week, players started showing up in Florida and in Arizona. Amen to that.
So, oh, it's such a good feeling to hear spring training and best shape of their lives and working on a new pitch and all that stuff.
Hey, is coming out now. Ronald Acuna looks like he could hit 40 bombs right now on a bum knee. Let's go. You know,
DH'd Otani with a bum shoulder. It didn't affect him. I'm sure Acuna could easily go to DH.
Honest to goodness, if they didn't have Ozuna, no way. I mean, there's no way that he wouldn't start the season as the opening day DH. But because they have Ozuna, and no way do they want him in the field. Yeah, he'll probably not be playing right away. All right. Well, we have Adarsh is here already tonight.
That's right. So Prison Mike, baby.
Prison Mike.
I hope some people get the reference that are watching on the YouTube, where we are well into the 900s in subscriptions and marching our way to 1,000. And for anyone who's out there thinking like, well, it's not a big deal, why they bring it up an awful lot. You're right, because we want to do fun, exciting things. Yes. And all you've got to do is subscribe. And as Mike VA said, grab your buddy's phone, grab your wife's phone, grab your mistress's phone. Make sure they're subscribed to.
Which one?
So that we can, well, I mean, depending on what way you want to take it, Ben, you could, depending on the mistress. You know, my mistress is fantasy baseball. You know, my wife doesn't know how much time I spend with her. And as long as that's not who you're trying to get out there, just subscribe for us. It really does help out. There's 42 people watching right now. You know, that could be, let's just say you could find 42 more phones, maybe. So if you maybe got a roommate, maybe you're like a Darsh, you've got a bunch of roommates. Grab their phones, subscribe for us. It will help us. Mike, good evening to you as well in the live chat.
Speaking of, we got you're just talking about Mike VA, and there he is in the live chat. He's apparently wanting to find out about the division front runners, and I think we're going to open things up with those New York Yankees, who, you know, bested Mike's Orioles this last year in the American League East, and we're going to start off with them. Let's go back, and Robbie, tell me who you had is the top three, or the big three in the New York Yankees system in 2024.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back. If anybody got
another
that,
good reference,
if anybody got that, you are old like me, and I'm cool with that. Last year, sorry, for my big three or my next three, what were we doing?
Big three.
I had Chase Hampton, who was coming off an excellent, very impressive breakout pitcher campaign. He was my number one. He ended up with a injury plagued 24. I think he only made 8 starts or 13 appearances. It was low, regardless of what it was. It was an off year for him. But a year ago, he was a real big spin rate guy. Fastball, curve, slider were all good. The changeup was going to be the one that he needed to work through, as well as like good catching and things like that, for him to be able to steal those strikes. He was one of the guys last year. Then I had Jason Dominguez, hyped forever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Spencer Jones was the hot newish ticket to join that list for me, who was a 2022 first rounder. And Dominguez, of course, had a taste of MLB at the end of the 2023 season, just a little bit, I believe, because I had written on here MLB debut made. So he was a 2019 J2 class. So who are the three you had, Ben?
So last year I had two of those three. I had Jason Dominguez and I had Spencer Jones, and then I added Henry Lalanne.
Right.
Ane or however. Anyway, a lot of positive things being said about him coming into last year and coming stateside, and not just stateside, but trying to stay healthy and pitch in full season ball turned out to be a little bit more of a challenge than he was expecting, maybe, or than maybe people who really liked him were expecting.
It wasn't a great year for Yankee pitchers.
No.
Hampton as well, as I mentioned. So, but Ben, do you want to lead us off here? Because that's how I've got it on our timesheet as to who your big three Yankees are this year.
Yes.
Do you have this movement? Year,
I have.
Actually, wait, hold on. Sorry. Before we start talking Yankees, I got to.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Prison Mike here needs to have himself a brew.
So Uncle Ted has an opinion on last year's. Which that wouldn't have been a bad three, you know, that'd be a very,
but a year ago. So Uncle Ted here is saying Ben Rice, Jason Dominguez as the Martian and Spencer Jones. Issue is that Ben Rice a year ago was looked at as a catcher, potential first baseman, and then spent 1 year as well as many other Yankees, not exceeding expectations. He did have a pretty good start, but when he came up, he got promoted when the Yankees needed some offense. And he was not able to provide it. And then he started to get a little bit of a depth chart bounce around. And now he does look like, and I believe we've mentioned this before, Ben, he does look like a bit of a lost soul.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the Yanks are going to do with him.
Last year, I think I told you that when we got into the next, or the players off of the list, Rice and Austin Wells and Agustin Ramirez needed to figure out who was going to be a catcher going forward and who was going to move to other positions. Well, Ramirez got moved out of the organization, Rice moved positions, and Wells was a very, very good rookie last year. So this year, I am going to repeat with Dominguez and Jones in the top three. The guy I'm adding, and this goes into something you and I have talked about on the show before. The Yankees do really well taking a guy who's got one or two really good pitches coming out of college, who got this excellent frame, and then developing that more. And they have a whole host of them, but they have one lefty that is right close to the majors that I really like, and that is Brock Selvidge.
Okay.
And I think he is likely to start this year in AAA, but almost certainly he is their sixth starter this year, or their, let's just put it, their prospect starter. I'm guessing it's the Yankees. They have some, you know, quad A guys. They're likely going to sign a few guys that don't have a job right now and say, hey, we'll send you down to the minors for a month. And if you don't have if there's no openings in the majors after a month, you know, we'll keep you on, but we'll give you a month that you're down in our minor league system and you can either have a shot with us or else you can
get that released and then they can go. Yep. Yeah. Which is very common. And a lot of the veteran laden teams do that. So that pitchers who need to get it back. Carlos Carrasco, I believe, is with the Yankees this year, is one of those guys, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's definitely one. So I mean, yes, Selvidge isn't going to be ahead of those guys most likely, but he's going to be the guy who's got some prospect intrigue. And if he really shoves in AAA, are they going to promote Carlos Carrasco ahead of Brock Selvidge?
Right, yeah, who's on the chart? Pipple 299, love the comment. Remember in the movie Knocked Up when Paul Rudd's wife tracks yes. down his mistress and it's his fantasy baseball draft? Yeah, absolutely. And at 9 p.m. tonight, my home league is doing their online, or not their, our online draft lottery. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the bottom four, I think that's how it works. You're in the bottom four, you do it. And the only crappy part is that I don't have a pick in the first five rounds because I traded all of them to pick up Aaron Judge. I did trade Acuna in that deal also, Judge and the two other, like, whatever, Singer and Rasmussen, something like that, that did not work out. But anyway, sorry, Ben. So, yeah, so your big three, you've got, what's your total?
Dominguez, Spencer Jones, and then Brock Selvidge.
Yes, okay. So I've got two of the same with you, Dominguez and Jones, so we don't really need to get into those guys. Obviously, it'd be nice if the Yankees just let Dominguez come up and, like, be a starter. That would be ideal. And even if they want to do, like, a split against, you know, if he's better on righties than lefties, or, you know, on Wednesdays than Fridays, whatever they figure out is an appropriate split, just let him be with the club so he can be – he's 21 years old. Let him be a guy. You know, he didn't get to – shadow Soto and have those conversations all last year, which would have been great for him, but that's okay. Anyway, the other guy that I've got, Ben, who is new to the organization, or newer, is Jorbet Vivas, baseman, who he was originally a J15 guy, trade with the Dodgers.
Yeah,
great
trade OBP. For Trey Sweeney, no less.
That's right. Yes, a prospect of note, a former prospect of note that's now with Detroit.
Yes,
and in Major League Baseball. So things I like about Vivas here: 23 years old, the OBP, a very low K rate, 2024 average dip, but it can be forgiven. And you know who needs a second baseman for the Yankees in 2026? Or sorry, you know who needs a second baseman in 2026?
Yeah.
The Yankees do. All the talk is of MLB this year with Jazz Chisholm going there. Well, this could be your long-term fit, and this might be why you're able to kind of move Jazz around midseason if something fits elsewhere. Like, move him around within your lineup, I mean.
Yes.
Within your the field, because he should be having potentially a career year, as everybody is hopeful for. So, so I've got Dominguez, Vivas, Jones. Those are mine. And what about diving into the vaults last year, Ben? Who did you have as your next three last year?
So last year, again, you had mentioned him already. I had Chase Hampton. I also had Roderick Arias, and I had George Lombard. George Lombard Jr., let's be more accurate. But
is it Lombard or Lombardi?
Lombard. He doesn't get the trophy.
No, so. He doesn't have it.
No. Now, one of those three repeated for me this year. And that is the guy we were just talking about, in George Lombard Jr. And I will say, I am putting together right now the last of the six major prospect lists that I track for my list that I do, where I find out how guys have ranked on, I think I do ESPN, MLB Pipeline, on Baseball America, Athletics, so Keith Law, and Fangraphs. It was just those five. No, there's six, but regardless. Oh, Baseball Prospectus as well. Sorry, there we go. There's my six. And the only one left is Eric Longenhagen at Fangraphs, who's releasing his on Monday. And I will say, George Lombard is a guy who is on a lot of lists this year for top 100. Typically down in the, like, 70 to 100 range, but still, he's making a lot of those top 100 lists. And I believe it was either Baseball America or Baseball Prospectus, or maybe both, had him as their second prospect in the system behind just Dominguez. So, So he's
really thinking.
Yes. And then the other two that I have on here are more of the kind of the profile for the Yankees, but they did take two of my favorite college pitchers in the draft last year.
Oh, no,
Ben Hess and Bryce Cunningham.
Okay.
Did I miss one of yours?
You missed both of my next.
Okay, good deal.
It also shows the depth that you can envision within the Yankees based on how they draft.
And so yeah, those two, both I had at different times when I was doing mock drafts last year as a legit back end of the first round talent. And so for them to get both of them into the org, I think that's a really good pickup for the Yankees. I think it's going to be a positive thing to see. Let me quick answer one here. Well, there we go. I mentioned him. So, you know, Ben Hess can strike out the world, according to Uncle Ted. Joe Chris asks about a team that we're not going to cover tonight, but a player who is really high-end. I don't think you're going to see Sebastian Walcott this year unless he just completely balls out the first half of the year and the Rangers completely tank.
Yeah, it's not worth it to pull the trigger and stunt his development unless you are in the win now mode that they don't appear to be in. I mean, if you go look at, if you want to see something real sad, because I just did this, go look at their bullpen and tell me that they are going to make a championship run.
Oh yeah.
They are not. They've got a bunch of 28 to 32 year olds who are not at peak, have not had a peak, don't appear as though they're about to peak. And that is their 8-man bullpen right now. It is, and what that means is that you are not going to lock down games and win a whole lot unless they start doing something really, really positive in spring training. To Chris Martin, we'll get to their 40 saves. Oh man, Ted, that's aggressive. It is rough in Texas on that end, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, by comparison. Go look at how much money the Dodgers are spending on their bullpen. It is insane.
Yeah.
Like they've got five guys who are all making $5 million plus and leading us a $17 million closer on top of that. And a guy making 11, a guy making, what is it, 9? Someone's making 6.
Does make it kind of a pain in the butt when you're trying to figure out for fantasy who to trust. Because, yes, I understand Tanner Scott is supposed to be that guy, but, you know, and this is a whole other discussion we could get into, but if you don't think that those other five guys are going to get an opportunity now and again to get saves, and especially since Tanner Scott's a lefty, that Blake Treinen and Michael Kopech and, you know, all those guys
Evan are going Phillips, to get some saves. When he's back and ready, like there are guys, well, even
Kirby got
10 or 11 million bucks for the 1 year. And this is exactly the kind of prospect talk you can trust for us talking about the Dodgers bullpen. And they're veterans instead of staying on top of it.
There we go.
So I'll steer us back. I'll steer us back to prospects. So in 2024, I had Roderick Arias, Kiner Delgado, both shortstops, and I really was going for Delgado, thinking that there was something here, switch hitter, blah, blah, blah. And I picked Will Warren as my pitcher. Warren didn't do the fun, exciting evolution that I wanted.
No.
Arias, we've discussed. Arias is also on my next three. He's still there, you know, solid stateside debut in A-ball. Defensively, he's fine. That could change. I think he can play the position right now. The D is the question, but I think you could just shift him to second. As I mentioned, that's always your cop out on your failed shortstop. My concern is power. What is he going to be as far as a hard hitter, not necessarily home runs, but a hard hitter? Because he's going to be able to steal bases. That's good. He's smart. He's going to take his walks. OBP is going to be fine. But realistically, is this someone who's going to be 10 or fewer home runs or 10 to 15? Where's that going to lie? And is there going to maybe be a switch where he starts to sell out for power over average? That's my concern. He's 20 years old. He's going to be, I'm assuming, making at least one promotion this year. Should see him in high A by season's end. Which is a fine slow progression for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got Arias on it. I've got pitchers, Thatcher Hurd, who was the third round pick in 2024. He's a big fastball guy. He's got a slider and a changeup, an LSU pitcher. I think he's going to be a good one. And Cade Smith is the other one, 2023 sixth rounder, who is pretty even on his fastball slider as far as the skill set that he's bringing with those. He's also got a changeup and a curve. He got beat up in low A in 17 starts, but he should end 2025 in double A. Excellent K per nine. And what I was interested in was the fact that the average was low for hitters. So sometimes when you're trying to figure out different things that happen and you're like looking at video, like Cade Smith looks solid, mm-hmm. but the line was ugly. So why was it bad? I don't know. Like, I think he just had bad moments and he got burned on the moments because he wasn't getting beat up. As you can see, some pitchers have a higher average, but they're really good at, you know, ground ball pitchers, right? They can get that double play out. So they're not as risky. Cade Smith is an interesting one for me in this sense. And I'm trying to find pitchers, and I didn't want to go back to the well of fantasy guys that are talked about more often. We're talking about next three. I think Hurd to me is leading this list at 22.
Yeah.
I think he could move quickly. I think it could be a good thing, and Hurd could be the most successful of these guys in the next 3 years, as far as like in MLB goes.
Yeah. I will tell you that when I first did this, I had him as my third, and then I went, you know, we've got to talk about Lombard. So that's why I changed. He was my third. I was going to have three college pitchers all in the next three. So absolutely, I am a big fan of Hurd. So some extra guys, right? You finished yours. Extra guys. You know, you talked about Arias and whether or not he's going to have enough power to succeed. There's another guy that kind of got a little bit of a prospect run in the Yankees system, Abraham Ramirez, infielder from Venezuela, 2022 IFA guy, huge OBP and contact, but I don't know what else he's going to do for you offensively. Mediocre defender. So where is he going to go? I mean, he'd be a below average catcher, or I think he's the type of guy who is okay defensively, but not a guy you want to stick out there as your starter. He could pull off the Tony Phillips route, you know what I mean? But obviously not steal 40 bases, but could play all over the place. And with the OBP that he's got, that could play. Brendan Jones, outfielder in the 12th round from Kansas State this last year. Huge OBP, huge defense, huge speed, and zero power. But it's a really fun profile. And I love watching guys like that, just because I think we need more guys like that in baseball who can get on base a ton, who can run like crazy, and can play really elite defense. But those guys, even if they don't succeed, how long has Victor Robles been kicking around this league as a defense first player, even though he's never fulfilled anything more than a speed only offensive player mostly?
Well, until the whatever moments. 100 and something, yeah. Yeah, 100 and something at bats that got
he's had his
hard last year. All of a sudden the dynasty value just shot back up for him. So, but yeah, they've got some good options here. And somebody who's left their list, I believe, who had a good 23, yeah, headed into 24. Just trying to find the right mix of guys here. I drafted a few in one of my deeper dynasty leagues, which is not a great sign that the player's name's currently escaping me, but it's a pitcher, and I don't want to. I'm confusing it. Cunningham, I got, or sorry, not I got. We discussed Cunningham, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. But Bryce was discussed. Where's my other Yankee here? This was previous year. Oh, Messinger? Zach Messinger.
Okay. Yeah. He was a hot item for a year or so, but yeah.
It was last year. He was having a strong, I'm just trying to find where he is. Okay, there. I'm just looking on MLB.com very quickly to see if non-fantasy list, which is always like the death for fantasy people to go to those, but just to try to find the scouting report. But 50 fastball, 50 curve, 60 slider. That's what it was. Okay, he was a slider guy. There we go. I could not remember for the life of me, but what I like about him is, of course, he's 6'6 and about 225. So solid guy. Played last year at AA after finishing the year at AA. And in 2023, he had 113 Ks in 97 innings. Last year, this was the issue, 150 innings, 136 Ks. So he did not continue his hot hand when he got to a higher level, so he dropped off. But he's somebody I'm going to watch this year, and he will either be, pardon me, organizational depth, or he's going to get it back, and he'll end the year in AAA, and he'll be one of those like silent guys that no one's really describing anymore that could end up with some MLB time. They do happen. So yeah, players do get that.
You say you like 6'6". What if I could, you know, offer you a 7th round pick in 2022, who's a 6'6" righty, can he sits mid-90s with the fastball, has two different sliders. The Yankees have already gotten their fingers in on that molding, and now has a curve and a change that flash above average. Would you be interested?
I would. Yes, I would.
What if I told you that not only that, but this guy may have the jersey a Yankees jersey you may want to buy because of his last name, Cam Schlitter.
And Schlitter.
Schlitter, S-C-H-L-I-T-T-E-R. And
wow,
I was really impressed when I pulled up some video. It's a, the only worry I have is it is a funky delivery, but it's a delivery that he repeats. It's
okay,
something goofy, but he does the same thing every time. That's one that really impressed me and caught my eyes. That is on this list. Josh Tiedemann was drafted in the 13th round in 23 out of high school as a two-way player, and he has actually done two ways both years, except he's totaled now 2 innings pitched and 15 at bats because he has been hurt so much in his draft year and last year. So that's another guy. And my last one that I really like is Eric Rieselman. But he is going to be a reliever. Was on the 2022 LSU team. So not the team that won the national championship, but the one just before that. 5th round pick. And just holy crap, great bullpen stuff. And was up to AAA, or was in AA or AAA. He hit the upper minors last year. And so very good chance that if they need some relief help, this is a guy who's got that kind of excellent relief arm stuff. So could be somebody just to kind of keep an eye on. I highly doubt you're getting saves out of him, but those leagues where you can get holds, where you can get some strikeout ratio, things like that, I think this would be a guy to at least keep an eye on. So,
well, those are all important things, Ben. Let's move on now to the everyone's traveling athletics.
Yes.
Who last year, I'm looking at my list, and I see some names of interest here. So I'm curious to know what you've adjusted for this year. I do know who I've picked. But Ben, who were your big three for the A's last year?
So last year I was buying in hardcore on the Luis Morales train. I had him in my big three. And then I had two guys that I thought would play a lot in Durell Hernandez and Denzel Clark. And let's just say, kind of whiffed on those. They did not end up being kind of heavy play guys, but they were very, there's a reason why you thought that they would be someone to pay attention to, but.
And who do you have for this year?
And this year I have none of those three in my top three. I have Nick Kurtz, their first pick this last year. Who very well could be in the majors by the end of the year. Jacob Wilson, who will start in the majors to start the year. And then a personal cheese ball, Colby Thomas, who I love his total skill set. And I think I mentioned him in the next three. I'll have to look at it when we go back to it. But an outfielder that can just beat the snot out of the baseball and actually can still put up a decent batting average, but he also strikes out 180 times. So, I mean, doesn't walk a ton, strikes out a ton, but he is an elite guy for them to consider for next year. The guy who I really think he could mold well after is actually Brent Rooker, who is on their major league team. And I think that's a really good profile for him to model. And I think that would be kind of an interesting, because Brent took his time in the majors. And I think a lot of people abandoned ship on Brent Rooker by the time he got to the A's, and then now he's a multi-time All-Star and got a $80 million contract this winter, I believe.
So. Yeah, that to me is the fault of the Twins, because we've seen enough Twins prospects come up and then just not excel, and then they move down the depth chart instead of getting to play through it all. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that does happen. Now, Joe Chris in the chat is realizing now that we are just talking specific to three teams yeah. tonight. That's okay.
Nothing wrong with that. I love having good chat.
Yeah, we are here to cover three teams. We talk about their big three prospects. We talk about what we think are their next three prospects. And then we'll throw out some other names and move on to the next one. We also will cover every single MLB team at this point, before opening
eventually.
Day. Yep. Yeah. We'll get to it. Once we're in season, then we do open it up and we go through, you know, all of baseball, minor league baseball, what's mm-hmm. going on, fun things that happen as well. So my former big three for the A's here, mm-hmm. make sure I get my timestamp in, you know, I gotta be accurate with this. So mine from 2024, I had Mason Miller, still technically a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
So
yep.
I'm going to call that a hit. Joe Boyle, I was going for playing time here and he had it. And Jacob Wilson, I had him as well. Those were my next three. Now, Boyle is now out of the organization and likely in AAA and needing to be Tampa Bay'd, as everyone thinks that that's a thing. It's not. Tampa Bay is a finishing school. They're not a development school. I will argue that until they prove me otherwise. How is Carlos Colmenares doing, everybody? Thanks so much. So for this year, my big
position
three
prospects, especially. Yeah.
Yes. Pitchers, they definitely have drafted in bulk and they've done an excellent job of trading and finishing guys, which very well could be Boyle. That's what I'm hoping. But anyway, on to the A's, Nick Kurtz, Giambi Jr. Yes, that's right. That's who we're looking at here. Finally, an exciting guy. I went with Tommy White, who was the second round pick last year.
Yep.
Both these 21-year-olds, they're called your corner infield of the future. You know the other thing they are, Ben? They're the new Bash Brothers.
I think
they could run with this when they get to Vegas, and you could bet on it.
And right? with Rucker. And with Rucker now signed long term, that could be a really fun middle of the lineup.
Yeah, like you're going to have inning enders, but you got OBP guys too. Right. So as long as they don't, you know, as long as Tommy White doesn't sell it for power, as long as Kurtz doesn't change who he's been, this could be really fun come 2026 and beyond. And as you mentioned about Kurtz possibly this year, absolutely. Everyone wants to see that lefty bat up. Like that is a very popular thing. And then my third one is already an MLB-er, Jacob Wilson, the 23 first round pick. We talked a year ago about the fact he was going to be a quick riser. This was the guy in the draft, you know, excellent defender, blah, blah, blah. He checked it all. He did it. Now he's up. Kurtz an 850 plus OPS bat, as Uncle Ted is saying. Yeah. Like great. That's a good goal. Like,
yeah,
I think there could be more. But again, peaks and valleys, and we got to see what the real ballpark is like, not what the 1 year, you know, fun and excitement is that everyone's going to get behind here in AAA Village here. But Ben, on to the next three. Who did you have last year with Oakland in their next three?
You know, this is what you call a mixed bag, folks. I had Jacob Wilson in my next three last year. Okay. I had Jack Perkins, who perfectly fine, but nothing great. And then I had Steven Echevarria, who may have posted the highest ERA of anyone in full season ball last year.
Okay.
You, like I said, an absolute mixed bag. So, that was the three I had last year.
All right. And who are you getting it right with this year going three for three here?
Well, let's hope. Tommy White is in my next three.
Okay.
Certainly see that.
I'm more excited than you are. Fair enough.
Well, I had to fit Colby into my top. You know, Tommy would have been the next guy there. I did put in here, just because I am going to be watching him heavily, Shotaro Morty.
Me too.
I think that's such a neat profile. And if this can happen, if guys are willing to come over out of high school in the IFA portion from Japan, if he has any level of success, if you see him spend half the season in full season ball, I think we're talking about a trend that could start, which is really exciting. And right now, from those who I trust from Japan scouting, they're not 100% sure whether he's a better position player prospect or pitching prospect. And that's kind of fun. That's fun to see develop. And so I'm just kind of eager to see how that works out this year. And my final one is Henry Bolt, who I just kind of can't quit. I think I own him in really deep leagues all over the place, but just so much stinking talent and a 35% strikeout rate. So
it's a which is of course not ideal.
No, it's not what you're hoping for. Now for a pitcher, that's great. Not so much for your hitter.
Yeah. If he can just switch that around where that becomes the K rate as the pitcher.
You're listening to the Palazzo Podcast. Take this moment to ponder where it all went wrong and ask yourself, have commercials ever benefited me in any single way whatsoever over the next 2 minutes?
Last year, I cheated. I had Tyler Soderstrom, who I just like, he was the 2020 first round pick. He was going to come up. He's on my next three. I had him in there. Okay, sure. You don't have to like that one. But then I went with Luis Morales. I thought slow burn for Morales, and then Darnell Hernandez, who we did talk about. And I remember now because I couldn't pronounce his name. And then we just decided that we were going to call him, or I decided we just call him something that was completely wrong. I now remember that. But for this year, Morales is repeating on the list, right? He's 22 years old, 2023 J2 or J15 guy, got $3 million. He was the big one, top arm in the class, 60 fastball, curve, slider, changeup. But he was not dominating last year in high A. So I think a lot of people are going to, you know, kind of walk back those exciting comments. But I think there's a lot to be said about full season ball in, you know, a professional minor league organization as opposed to playing abroad. You're now coming into a system.
Yep.
You're adjusting. Hopefully for this year, he's going to come back and we're going to start to see that like slow rise in, and I'm fine with that instead of just boom, shooting straight up. That's what I'm hoping for him. Repeat high A as well before a promotion. I think that's also a good idea. Give him the early spring there, move him before it gets too hot in the summer. I know he's in the like Michigan, Wisconsin loop. That's where the A's are. I think it was Lansing is where he was playing. That's a cold spring climate, so that's not a bad spot to go to for him. That's not a bad spot for him to go. And then you can move him off once you get to the summer. I also have 2024 collective bargaining round, 73rd overall, lefty Gage Jump. And my note on him for everybody is that he was a top arm as a high schooler. And what I think got forgotten in here is that he had Tommy John surgery and only fully healthy again last year, and he's got 455 ish grade pitches depending on you know who you're trusting, which is all serviceable and all at his age of 21 projectable to see improvement. Now you've got to pick the ones he's going to throw heavy on. I would assume not the curveball, as a already one-time Tommy Johnner. I would hope he would be using that as an out pitch on an off day as opposed to the school of Lance McCullers, and he would be working more with the changeup and the fastball, but we'll see. I really think he could be an exciting arm that could help out in Vegas. I think that's where, or maybe even before they get to Vegas.
Yeah.
And then I also have Shotaro Morel, or however we're going to say it. I mean, you know, the top non-pro Asian, a two-way player to boot. He's a fantasy flyer, but hey, why not? Right. Oakland's fun this year.
They've got
Kurtz, who I'm still waiting. Anyway, anyone out there, if you're doing your first year player drafts and you are interested, California Athletics, that's fine. I like that, Uncle Ted. If you are interested in sending me, you know, the first round, if it's like 15, you could send me up to like 30 picks. I'm trying to develop a first year player draft average draft position. I do it every year. I always can get, you know, 20-ish rounds. So then by the time we hit March, I really understand where fantasy market is on these guys. Mm-hmm. And Nick Kurtz is somebody who I assumed was going to be a fantasy 1-1. Charlie Condon, I thought, was going to be the guy. And he did not start well as a pro. So I don't think that's possible anymore. But now, you know, we've, of course, had Sasaki go to the go to the Dodgers. So he's the 1-1, but it's really everybody else. And a year ago, a lot of the talk was between Yamamoto and Skeens. And now a year later, I think everyone's laughing like, wow, if Skeens fell to you at two or in some drafts three, what a blessing that was. So I'm curious if you guys have him out there. You could, if you want to, you could hit me up at X at Robbie Baseball. Prefer if you joined our Discord, the Palazzo Podcast Discord, and then you could pop that in there. And eventually I'll check and I'll just record the names down and in their order. And I would very much appreciate the ability to count your data. And I don't need your name. I'm the Elon Musk of the Discord when it comes to first year players only. Anyway, so that's our big three next week for the A's. So, other names aside, Ben, we've got a bunch we did not discuss. Who is it that I was just going to look at here? We did not discuss. I guess we talked to Morales. Who was the guy I'm thinking? Okay, I'll shut up and go find the player I was looking for.
Jump is a guy that I looked at because the A's have a ton of guys. Whoop. He's maybe the best skills version of a type that the A's have, where they have a whole lot of guys that are 50 to 55 on all their pitches, and some of them 50 to 55 on their control as well. Just like this perfect number four, number five profile. Yeah. And
which they keep pumping these guys out.
Oh, yeah. Will Johnston is a lefty that I really like in that profile. Jack Perkins, like I said, didn't take a step forward, but certainly was nothing to be upset about. And they acquired Mason Barnett in the Lucas Ursig trade. That's another guy with that similar profile. And then one of the better good names to have in your system is Blake Beers. He is...
Well, Seth let us all down years ago. Yes,
this is true. Blake hopefully will be our redemption. But, I mean, those are all guys. They have a lot of that type of pitcher. Morales, like you mentioned, I think is one of the few elite stuff guys. And then Echevarria is another one who's got elite stuff. His command was crap last year. But I think when I started to watch, one of the things that really, really, really caught my eye was how much he was aiming in his he was really aiming, which of course then if you're really trying to aim the ball into the strike zone, you almost always take off what you would normally do to the pitch to get good movement. And so then you're throwing just basically a meatball fastball into the zone, and he got just pommeled in the zone. So this is a guy whose stuff should be able to play, but cold weather guy, likely going to be a slow development. Bats, they have some fun bats. Clark Elliott was a 2022 second rounder out of the University of Michigan. So one of those boys that certainly Govier would enjoy, but just a stud athlete, but he's had injury stuff. And so he's kind of had a slow burn development so far. I think he just did low A last year. So very interesting guy. Joshua Kuroda Grauer. Get to know that name just because he is going to
all play. All three of them.
Well, yeah, there you go. He's going to play in the majors. He is a third rounder. Their third round pick this year. And he got to AAA already in his draft season. This is a guy, I think that there is a whole lot of high floor here and not much above it as far as his ceiling. I think he is a utility infielder who is going to be a utility infielder. But this is a guy.
I didn't realize he had AAA at bats last year. He must have been helping to fill out the last series
of
the year.
I'm thinking so.
12 at bats.
But you can definitely
tell. It's cool they did it.
But yeah, if you can trust a guy that you just drafted to call him all the way up to AAA at the end, that gives you some idea of what the organization already thinks of him. But let's see. The other one that I wanted to mention, we didn't even mention Max Muncy.
No, we did not.
2021 first rounder very well could play some major league time this year. But the other guy I really enjoyed watching this last year was Will Simpson, 15th round pick out of University of Washington in 23, 53 extra base hits. And this is a guy, he is not going to play defense well anywhere. He played some first, he played some corner outfield, and it was not pleasant to watch. But when he hits, that's fun. And if he can keep hitting, there's going to be somewhere for him to play. It's just, you know, we're talking like a Seth Brown type of profile. He's got to just keep hitting or else he's pretty much useless.
Right. Yeah. But that's the skill set is the bat. One guy I want to mention that I am interested in is the third nailer in pro ball, Miles Naylor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's another one. I didn't even 19 have him year old. On my sheet.
Yeah. Well, you know, Canadian. So obviously,
well, of course,
on my radar.
I get it. I get it. I'm just like, yeah. I mean, that, but I'm just saying, as part of this is where the A system is. There's just a lot of guys that are interesting.
Yeah. No,
he spent a lot of time watching that.
Yeah. He did not hit well. OBP was fine. 192 average in A ball, 321 OBP last year. But you got to pick and choose your stats. The one that I'm going to think is the one that I think is interesting is that he now in 542 at bats has 17 home runs. And he's 19, just to reiterate that. And he's got 8 stolen bases. Now he had, I think here it says 1 billion strikeouts last year. Yeah. No, he had 173 in 416 at bats. Yeah. But he also had 79 walks. Now, one does not eliminate the other. That's not a one for one ratio. But it's showing that with coaching, I think we could see Naylor eventually form into somebody. Now, he wasn't picked way far back. He is already rostered in your dynasty leagues. He was 39th overall in 23. So depending on the length of time your league's been around, he's taken. But after this past year, whoever rostered him will happily give him up.
I love Joe's comment here. The best analysis or best at picking and choosing their stats. Robbie is so good at this. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
You can't. I mean, obviously, I look at a video, but I know we're not going to show a video of how they're doing it and we're not going to break it down. But when I look and I think, you know, what are the important things, right? Nationality, obviously. At a catcher, we know Venezuelan. But if it's a Canadian, they're near and dear to my heart. But also, we got the bloodline thing going on. We got all sorts of irrelevant things that we can count on with Naylor here. So I think he's a good guy to end on for the A's. We've got
we're making good time here.
Yeah. We've got Seattle, which is probably the most exciting of these. But I got to argue, both teams that we just talked about, the Yankees and the A's, have enough that you can pick through their system for your dynasty, depending on the depth of your league, the depth within their system, and get a couple guys that could jump first half or jump second half. And all of a sudden you've got some hidden value that, you know, in your final, if you have a 15 round prospect draft, your final 3-4 rounds, you could be taking just from those two organizations alone and find guys that aren't going to be rostered in 20 plus team leagues, because they have that ability. And the A's particularly are going to have hitters get jumps in potential power, as the Yankee hitters always do, because people are going to think, well, get them in an MLB park, much like everybody used to with Rockies hitters until we all eventually wised up to it. But not really, right, guys? Because this is the year of Toglia. So anyway, let's get on to the Mariners, who, as we've previously discussed, Ben, have a very disappointing MLB lineup. The pitching is homegrown. That's what they've been great at. But if we look at their prospects, I think we're going to see a different story. So who do you have, or who did you have last year?
Last year, I had
your big three.
Big three. I had Cole Young. I had Harry Ford. And I had Colt Emerson. And this year, two of those three repeat. I have Colt Emerson, I have Cole Young, and I have added Lazaro Montes.
Okay.
I think
Emerson, Montes, and Young.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe this will be boring. Ben, I have the same guys in mind.
Yep.
Now, last year, I had Emerson and Young, but I went fun and exciting with Jonathan Class A. Because I heard Jerry DePoto, and I love to reference my boy DePoto. He specifically said that Class A has that explosive game changer thing that he wants. And when the Mariners were struggling early in the year, they called him up, and I know they were hoping he would somehow provide that kind of like superstar pop to him. Well, he didn't have it in him at the at that time.
Yep.
And then he ended up getting sent down, and I think he came back up one more time before he got dealt to Toronto. But now he's a 22-year-old who should be a AAA guy that gets called up for the Jays this year, depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks with veteran signings. So, but either way, my big three happened oh so fast.
I like this, Joe. It does. It kind of sounds like a good law firm, you know, Emerson, Montes, and Young.
So that was the boring part of Seattle because the talent is at the high end here. All three of those guys, 19, 20, 21, two first round picks, 22 and 23, and a J2 guy from 22 and Montes. We know they could all be, you know, impact players with Seattle. We know Seattle needs a jolt up the middle. They need some corners. They could just use all these guys, and so maybe DePoto will get aggressive in their assignment this year, so they could all potentially be cusp or up this year, depending on how the season goes for them.
I just submitted for IBWAA my yearly predictions thing that we do. Mm-hmm. My AL Rookie of the Year pick was Cole Young.
Oh, wow. So you think it's coming quick.
I think he's coming quick because I just don't see who's stopping him. I really don't.
Do you think JP Crawford stays at shortstop and Young would go? Yeah, Young would
Young's
go to
be the second base. Yep.
That's fair. Because,
and I think.
So you don't think it's Dylan Moore?
I would. If I were to have you guess how old Dylan Moore is, how old do you think Dylan Moore is?
I mean, thanks to Deep Dynasty Leagues, I know Dylan Moore is 32, I think. I believe that's right. I think
that is, yes. It's either 32 and turning 33 or just turned 32. I don't, but still.
He went for a shocking amount in an auction league. And I remember thinking, what do I not know of this man? And then, Luke Rayleigh went. So this is a league where you spend real money on the players, and you if you spend over $240, you pay 100% tax on top of every dollar you spend over that, like MLB's luxury tax. And someone's paying Luke Rayleigh $17 in this league, and I thought, wait a second,
that's not
Luke Rayleigh value. Someone confused him with Peak Ty France. And that's exactly what I think has happened, is that people are like playing opportunity for Dylan Moore and Rayleigh separately. But I love the idea of an early promotion for Young.
That's what I'm watching heavily.
Okay. I want to run a trade scenario past you here, since we are on Seattle and there's a guy in one of my leagues that is a serial prospect trader. Excellent fantasy guy, but he goes from last place to, you know, like runner up. Meanwhile, Joe Chris here is asking, does Locklear get another chance? I think there's opportunity, but it's not going to be, you can work it out. You're going to have to come up and steal a job. So spring training, 400 batting average, crushing balls, four home runs, you know, earn a bench roll. That's your best bet. Otherwise he's going to AAA. Mm-hmm. So let me look here. This trade offer it involves the Mariners, obviously. My team in this league is called DePoto's Mariners.
So you trade like Jerry?
No, I don't. I'm actually kind of like, I overvalue my own guys always, of course. And I am trying to get Connor Norby in this league. But the Seattle Hotshots, which is another team, it's like we're a West Coast based team, but we're not. But there's three teams that have Seattle names.
Nice.
So this is what it is. It is Harry Ford, Young, and Chase DeLauder for Zahir Hope and Tommy White of Miami.
Wow.
Isn't that a fair offer? Like, both sides, I think, are offering a lot. Hope is...
Yeah, that's a lot of...
Tommy White is potentially breakout pitcher this year in the minor leagues. When we get to Miami, we'll have that conversation.
Yeah. I think you're talking holy crap ceiling on the Hope and White side.
Yeah.
And my fear there is the lack of floor with both of those players. I love Hope's skill set, but that doesn't mean, I mean, if DeLauder was, DeLauder might have the most upside of anyone in that deal, though, if he stays healthy. That's the whole issue. Right.
Yep.
And that's the whole thing. This is, you know, an easy top 10 guy if he's healthy. But you also have Cole Young, who's a legit 20 to 40 prospect, you know, in the top 20 to 40 on top 100 lists. I mean, Jiska, there's that's a really fun trade. Honestly, it's a fun trade. That's the type of trade where somebody would veto it because they don't like one side or the other. But that's the type of trade that I really like to see in a dynasty league, because it's like, let's challenge a prospect. Your prospect for my prospect.
And Harry Ford in this is, Ford's almost a throw-in at this point.
Yeah.
Because,
well, and unfortunately, yeah.
Right, but you're looking at the downside of him, whereas Seattle, I think, is going to be looking at the, like, need him factor, which means he can still come up, but he's now not a coveted prospect, but he had value in the league. So anyway, I thought that was a fun one. This is the only league I have a share of hope in, and I might be giving it up because I feel this deal is very fair on my receiving end, and I understand it just as you said, Ben. It's very fair that I could be giving up two guys that end up with very high rankings in one calendar year. Out of Rhythm Fantasy Sports asking where the trucker hat is. I am the, as it says down below, I am the, is it pitching coach that I put? Scranton Rail Riders pitching coach. You know, I'm Prison Mike, and that's the double A team, the Scranton Wilkes-Barre. That's Rail their Riders, Yankees. Yeah. Which reminds me, Chase DeLauder is going to be at camp, so which means we're going to get to see decent quality video of him this spring. And Roderick Arias is another guy who we're going to get to see some decent video of. So, Ben, who are your next? Or sorry, who were your next three from last year with Seattle? Well,
last year's next three, again, a nice mixed bag. Lazaro Montes, who exploded, became, you know, a guy who I've legit front got line. On the front line guy. I had Clase in my next three, and he did okay. I mean, made it to the majors. You know that you can't do anything, can't complain about that. But then I had Ty Pete, and Ty Pete completely looks not like he can hit a professional baseball right now. Really struggling to make contact. So those were my last year guys. This year I decided to kind of chase the upside dragon again. I caught it with Montes last year, and I have Felden Celestin in my
in my
next three. Then I have two pitchers that they drafted this year, Ryan Sloan, and the two-way pitcher, Gerangelo Cejente.
Which is fun. Honestly, I avoided him because I know he's been talked about a lot. I don't think I'm going to end up with a dynasty share of him, but this is cool. It's always good to have something different that can make you more devastating.
Yeah.
And we know they can't switch sides when they're throwing, no different than you can't switch left to right when you're hitting. But it depending on how devastating he is, this could be really interesting. I would think, obviously, maximize him as a starter, but really, like, you could see him as a bullpen arm, like Pettit,
but like Vendetti. Like that.
Yeah, he had a cup of tea in Toronto once upon a time. So okay, those are your next three. I like it. We'll discuss. We'll get into them in detail in a moment. Last year, I had. Oh yeah, don't forget the timestamp, you dumb bastard, Rob. I had Feline Celestine. That's not how you pronounce it, but you get the idea, everybody. I had Teddy McGraw, who was pitcher drafted in 23, Tommy John surgery. He's still on the road back to get to what he could be. And then I had Jeter Martinez, who was a J2 guy, at 18-year-old, and he was getting, you know, hyped up a little bit. Now, two of them did not make returns, Jeter and McGraw. So McGraw I wanted to highlight last year. Now we're letting him do his thing. So I'll be playing this year at 23. We'll see what he's like at midseason.
Yep.
This year, I went with Logan Evans, who was a pop-up prospect the first half of the year. Everybody got a little more excited than they should have from him. He cooled down in the stretch, but was solid enough in double A for his draft slot. And for his draft slot, which was the 12th round in 2023, he's excelling. So let's see what happens in a full season with everyone's eyes on him in 2025 here. Celestine, I've got the 19-year-old. He is, shortstop, supposed to be fast, but Ben, we saw everything but speed on the base pass last year in rookie ball. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Maybe Seattle was like, we know you can run. Let's see you do the rest. Right? Like we'll let you release that when you hit whatever, double A, something like that. And then I have Harry Ford as my final one. Now I've got him. He was 12th overall in 21. 20, for some reason I've corrected it. It says 27 arrival date. That's what I'm expecting. They're going to slow it down. Stolen base over home run at catcher. That's my note. Weird, but okay. OBP league darling, but declining average each year as a professional. So obviously a prospect going the wrong way. And he was supposed to be the heir apparent. And now, I believe Cal Raleigh is the guy. You would love to ink Cal Raleigh to a 4 or 5 year deal. I'm sure they've had the conversations and it hasn't happened with DePoto. But Harry Ford will, I'm assuming, continue to rise up 1 year. One level a year, and then he'll end up as a backup type that we would have to see what he can do.
He did finally play the outfield this year. Everyone's been kind of asking for that to happen, and so now you got to wonder a little bit if they're thinking already that route. But here's what I love about this system and why I kind of wanted to highlight them. Neither one of us mentioned two guys who are consistently on top 100 lists as I'm putting together this list compilation. And then you just mentioned Ford. That was the third one that I didn't mention on my big three, next three. But Johnny Farmello and Michael Arroyo, neither one of them we really mentioned. And they're both on a whole lot of top 100 lists. Farmello, injury, it kind of messed up a whole lot of possibility that he might have had. And I think that's why he's still where he is as far as ranking is concerned. But Michael Arroyo had a really solid year, 23 homers, 18 steals, both A-ball levels. He's a 22 IFA guy. So he's 20 years old at this point. And so, no, not even. I bet he's still a teenager this last year.
Sorry, who are we talking about?
Michael Arroyo.
Oh, I got it. Sorry, I was just pulling up. My computer is not as fast as my phone. What's wrong with technology? He is 20 years old this year.
Okay. And he has kind of got that offensive stud, but needs to figure out where he's going to play in order to make that work. Because I don't know if he has the arm for third. I don't know if he has the range for short. And if he doesn't have the range for short, a lot of times, the way that we're working on defense anymore, a lot of teams struggle with putting a Jeff Kent at second base anymore.
Yeah.
Want a guy who can pick it.
You're not going to, he's 5'8". Yeah. You're not going to throw him out at third base because he won't. I mean, the reach is going to be an issue. And if you want to get into the deep nitty gritty of baseball, we can. It's not fun. That's why the fantasy is more exciting. But playing time in the field is of issue for me. I love the fantasy stat. I mean, I love the real stat line. 23 dingers last year, 18 stolen bases, 89 RBIs is excellent, and 101 runs. Like, we're dumb for not having him on the list, but I'm not sure what he's going to do as far as playing a position.
And that's one of my, that's the reason why he's not on my next three. I mean, flat out. I mean, offensive profile easily is one of the guys that we should be highlighting, but where is he going to play? So I have two guys who are both outfielders that I have, and then some pitchers we can talk about. But Carlos Jimenez was a big-time money guy in 2019 in IFA, and he's had a really slow burn to get going. Let's just put it that way. And now he actually had his first decent full season ball.
Yep.
Year. And huge tools. I think that this is a guy for sure to keep an eye on, because if he's continuing to see some more progress, like I said, not everyone's development path is linear. I don't know how many times we need to say that, but he's one of those guys that he is a big time talent who needed to figure out how to play baseball. You know, just had tools out the yin yang. The other one is kind of the opposite direction. 10th round pick out in 23 out of Cal Santa Barbara, Jared Sundstrom, who I think they struck gold on this one, to be frank. You know, you watch him play, there's a legit 20 home run power bat here. He has got speed to burn, and he's going to be in the upper minors this year. For a 10th round guy out of college, that's a pretty stinking good return. You normally don't get a guy who's got that kind of talent base. Now, I saw him go after a whole lot of pitches that he should have had no business offering at. And so there's going to be, he's going to have some things to learn in the upper minors before he's ready for the big leagues. But this is a power speed guy that could be a lot of fun. Pitching wise, you know, you had mentioned Jeter Martinez. I had him on here. Brandon Garcia is another guy who is kind of along that college guy, that college type that they develop really well. Michael Morales, same thing.
Yeah, Garcia is interesting. 24, 6'4". Where did he play last year? He finished at Double A. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, he split his season. 13 at Double A, 47 and two-thirds innings, 49 Ks. Walks 21, not ideal. 221 opposing batter average. You know, interesting. One thing you got to give Seattle credit for is developing pitchers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. He's just good. they're just good at it. So yeah. I would give them credit for it. You know, Brian Wu kind of swooped through everybody and all of a sudden had arrived. And now people are like, this could be an ace. You know, yeah. Kirby Gilbert, we talked about them when we were doing our top pitches or dynasty pitchers, which you're all welcome to go find that episode. So,
So Tyler Gougo, I don't know, G-O-U-G-H is how you spell the last name. He was a ninth round high school pick in 22. And I like the blend of pitches. It's really a solid blend of pitches. Four pitches that I would say are probably average or better. Sometimes we're flashing plus. That slider could really flash plus. But he was in the Cal League in 24, and which meant he had some tough days.
A lot of walks last year. 95 and two-thirds innings, 47 walks to 99 Ks, but 23 starts.
And I think once that's the type of guy, watching him on a few videos, that's the type of guy who gets to the upper minors and realizes how to pitch, not just hit the strike zone. And that's, you know, there were a few times where he'll figure out how to let his stuff, the natural movement of his pitches, play within the zone rather than trying to think that he's smarter than everyone and have them chase out of zone. And that leads to a whole lot of balls. And he's, saw that last year. This year, I mean, you hope that next step for him is same movement on the pitches, but let's work that movement within the zone and see if a guy can hit it. Because I think he would be a guy who has a really high in-zone swing rate.
So he is an excellent one for your watch list, people.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's loaded. All three of these organizations are in a good spot. Although we constantly see the Yankees deal players away, who we saw, who was it earlier? Somebody had said that, you know, the Yankees don't keep their guys, they trade them. Of course, that's what happens when you are riddled or saddled with the obligation of competing all the time, as you can't always let the guys come up. Volpe has been an exception. Judge also an exception, but Judge didn't come up and suck for 2 years. Volpe, were juries out on. We're not so sure. Trevor Torres is another one they did it with. So they have done it with players, but
he's had Volpe's had value. It just hasn't been the way that folks expected him to have value fantasy wise. And that's the problem.
Yeah. He's a real baseball player who everyone was pretty excited to see get better and better. It might just be, not JP Crawford level, but it might be less exciting fantasy than we would like. You know, he was getting hyped up quite a bit last year, and that's all cooled off now. So even with a great lineup.
Yeah, it might be a lower average 15-15 type of guy. You know what I mean? You know, there should be some power there. There should be some speed there. But the folks that thought that this was going to be your next Jimmy Rollins type of stat line, he isn't going to be pulling off that. He isn't going to have a 30 home run, 50 steal year. You know, that just isn't happening. So, but this is a good crew. This is a good group of teams. And our next show, we get to finish out the American League. Get to talk about your favorite. Tirana.
Well, your again, favorite. a couple years ago made the switch to Seattle, but now I've just floated around. So I'm like the A's. I have no home. I love baseball. I love fantasy baseball.
Yep.
And I hate when an organization does things poorly. Seattle has let their MLB lineup erode. I don't like it. I appreciate that Jerry's been going for it, but he usually also has some really good, astute offseason moves. The fact that he has not had a really loud season to this point makes me think that your call on Cole Young could be the best thing for the organization as you bring the guy up.
I think they have so much depth. You know, we talked about Locklear. There's a lot of guys that I just didn't even mention that had solid years in AA, AAA, but maybe aren't on that role, that high end prospect route. I mean, mm-hmm. Ryan Bliss is a guy who's graduated at this point because he's been up, but a lot of talent there. Maybe Jerry's going to say, you know what? I'm going to let these young guys push you old farts and see if we can possibly get something out of it. Cause you know,
it was striking out. That was an issue a few seasons ago for Seattle. Contact balls in play have always been something they've needed more of. And really they're going to get into a position where Julio needs some legitimate protection. Now Arizona's there right now. But you need more. You need multiple. Like, you can't just have a four hitter to block to help your three hitter. You need a 3, 4, 5, 6 so that they're looking at that lineup as how do we attack that, not how do we attack the one guy behind their best hitter.
Emerson on base with his speed on base, a Cole Young with his ability to drive the ball in the gap, hitting behind him, and then you bring up Julio. I mean, you're talking a lot of times you're going to have guys sitting on second and third waiting for Julio to drive them in.
You got Arizarena, and then you got Rally as power behind it. And then you need, whether that's Rayleigh, whatever that like next type guy is, you need that next guy there. And then you need the 7, 8, 9s pushing and then just players around.
In it, you know, who knows? Maybe we're talking about right now the guy who could come up and be that power and on base. I don't know if he's going to be contact, but I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would not blow me away if Lázaro Montes ended the year in the major leagues.
It sure would be fun.
It would be a lot of fun because that means that he has checked a lot of boxes in AA and then in AAA. And boy, would that be fun just to have.
Yeah. So. And I mean, Emerson, depending on how things go too, they could decide to shift him full-time third base. You know, assuming he starts in AA, if let's say he gets hot, boom, he's up in AAA. If they're knocking on, it could be a real fun 2026 lineup if it doesn't all, you know, if certain things happen in certain ways in 2025. But anyway, that's the Yankees, that's the A's, that's Seattle. You're covered. We got Toronto, Texas, Tampa Bay coming up next. Don't forget to check out
our dynasty to the National stuff. League.
Yeah, and then we've got 15 National League teams. We're going to do them all, everybody. But yeah, we'll wrap this one up here, Benny. On behalf of myself, Ben, Britton, Sam, Govier, Mike B, Britton Allen, the Venezuelan catching guru, we thank y'all. Love, peace, hair grease.
The power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love.
fool sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.